It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
5:05. It is a football Friday. A football Friday where the Giants can't lose, but there are some Giant relevant games coming up this hour. Sean will play Tank Bingo with us and teach us, Tiki too, because I don't even think you're thinking this way, of the games we need to watch because it affects the Giants draft picks.
Bingo!
It's a little Tank Bingo. We'll do that a little bit later on. We'll make our picks for this weekend's NFL games. But it is that time of day.
Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888-thebenz.com. Our own Tiki Barber on the call this weekend, the Colts and the Jets.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber
from MetLife Stadium. And I got to tell you, yesterday we did a lot about AFC, NFC East rivalry games. The Colts and Jets have played some doozies, some memorable games. So let's go down memory road here with the 5 most memorable Colts-Jets games of all time. Here we go.
Number 5.
Week 16, 2009, Jets 29, Colts 15. The Colts lay down their swords at halftime, resting the starters, allowing beep, 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 beep,
who,
the Jets to back into the playoffs.
Who was the quarterback? Trivia question. This guy lives in my brain forever. Who was the random quarterback who replaced Peyton Manning in that game that allowed the Jets to come back, beat the Colts that day, eventually make the playoffs? Does anybody know?
Was it Jim Sorgi?
It was not Jim Sorgi. Tiki.
That was the one I was thinking of, too.
Oh, I know.
Just a random name.
I got it.
Well, are you going to let Tiki try to guess or not?
Sure.
I don't know.
He does not know. Okay.
Sorry.
You want to let Tommy guess or does he not count?
Do you count, Tommy?
I count. I just don't really even have a guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Curtis Painter.
Nailed it.
Bang.
The immortal Curtis Painter.
I used to have a thing for backup quarterbacks. I used to be able to recite them all.
That's impressive. The only reason I know Curtis Painter is because of the game. Because that was, he's right, a very famous game in Jet history. And it bothers me that they didn't get the revenge, or not the revenge, but they didn't get to seal the deal. I'm sure this game's on the list. The AFC title game a few weeks later, because it would have been the perfect symmetry of you allowed us into this world and we took you out. Unfortunately, it was the opposite.
All right, here we go.
Number 4.
January 8th, 2011. The Jets beat the Colts in the playoffs 17-16 after giving up the lead late. Nick Folk kicks a field goal as time expires. This game, by the way, a very fun wild card Saturday, was the nightcap to the Beastquake game where the Seahawks upset the Saints.
So the Jets won this game because they got a huge kick return, which set up the Nick Folk game-winning field goal. That kick return came from Antonio Cromartie, and it changed everything. And it set up Mark Sanchez for that drive, and that was a game I'll never forget because Beningo and I not only went, we did a day trip. We did a Saturday show from WFAN, okay? Got on a private jet with one of our coworkers.
Oh.
Any idea which coworker would at the time have a private jet?
Schmoomer Schmishmeyerson.
That's right.
Definitely Boomer.
Schmoomer Schmishmeyerson. What a great guy he is.
Yeah.
He's mean sometimes, but he's a great dude. We get on this private plane. We go to Indianapolis. Beningo and I see the game. Game ends. We're pumped up. We go right back on Boomer's plane and come back. We're at Teterboro by like a reasonable time. And Joe Beningo said, bro,
If we went to MetLife, it would have taken longer, bro. This is the freaking life. And Boomer was very modest. I don't think he cares anymore, but modest at the time. So he's like, don't talk about this on the air. Don't talk about this. And we were like, okay. But all these years later, I think we could talk about it.
Very good
Thank you, Boomer Esiason. And that was, honestly, that was freaking awesome. It was a great experience. It was an awesome playoff game. And it's ruined me flying for the rest of my life. Because how can you fly on anything else after you do that?
Yeah. And let's be honest, if you didn't have the private jet, him and Joe were driving. So there's no doubt about it.
Good point.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Speaking of great experiences, here's another one for Evan. January 24th, 2010, the AFC Championship game. After backing into the postseason, the Jets get a little taste of
They didn't back into the postseason. They didn't back into the postseason. They got a break because the Colts laid down. They won their games to make the playoffs. So stop with that.
9-7 would have been 8-8. Jets get whacked up 30-17, ending all Super Bowl hopes. Very big moment. Of course, this leads to the Saints Colts memorable Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, they didn't get whacked. They led at halftime.
Well, the game is a 2-score game.
Did they lead at halftime?
Yes.
Okay, Austin Collie, that touchdown right at the end of the half. I mean, within a centimeter of that ball being knocked down. And this being a completely different game, maybe 17-6 or 17-9 at the half.
Nobody remembers the details.
No.
Okay, well, I do, and I'm reminding everybody.
Well, we remember a little bit. Colley went and played fetch.
Okay. All right, just continue.
Here we go.
Number two.
Oh, I love my life. January 4th, 2003. The last home Jets playoff game. The answer yesterday to our IQ trivia question. The Jets beat Peyton Manning's punk ass 41-0 at
Giants
Stadium.
Some may say the most famous 41-0 game in Giants Stadium history.
It's not. It's the second.
Some may say that, though.
Yeah. Mm. You know what?
You're right over there, Teague?
Yeah.
Do they call it 41 Donut? In Indianapolis.
No, they don't, unfortunately. Yeah. They don't even remember it existed.
Exactly, because they had too much success afterwards. Yeah. Minnesota, on the other hand.
Good call.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I was just trying to be a jerk. Let me be a jerk once in a while.
All right.
Number one.
I got to tell you, you nailed this list. This is that you actually did a really good job, and you didn't even troll, so good job.
I'm not a troll. I give you the truth and the facts.
Okay.
Okay, number one. I take you back to 1993, 6-3 overtime win.
No, you just screwed up the list. What the hell just happened here?
6-3.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. Now you don't remember this?
No. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
you screwed up the list.
No,
I'm going to let you finish, and then I'll correct you. Go ahead.
All right,
just finish.
Because Evan's gullible. Number one is, of course, the guarantee Super Bowl from Joe Namath.
Gullible.
They did have a 6-3 game though in '93 that went to overtime.
I mean, you scared the crap out of me. I'm preemptively congratulating you on a great list, and then you're bringing up a random game.
I wasn't about to do that until you gave me too much credit for not being a troll. So there you go. Now I had to go back to it.
Well, you want
to
finish it?
Super Bowl, the guarantee. What more is there to say? Joe Namath, the guarantee. Obviously, the one Lombardi that sits in Florham Park is from this day. Jets coach can't tell a history of football without it.
I would tell everybody to do this. I don't know if you've done this, Tiggy, but you should. Watch the game. Have you ever seen Super Bowl III?
No, I haven't. But I know the Jets in their victory. It's the largest playoff upset in NFL history.
18-point underdog.
Yes.
The reason I say to watch it is because, and I think you'll appreciate this more than even me, I went back and watched it, and I was disgusted by how ugly the football was, how just bad it was. Like, Lou Michaels, the kicker, missed like a 25-yard field goal.
Why would I go back and watch it then?
As someone who played the game, I think you would get like, oh my God.
From a historical perspective?
I think from a historical perspective, and I think you'd watch this and be like, oh my God, I'm better than everybody on the field.
That's a great segment. Tiki rips apart the All-22 of Super Bowl III.
I mean, Earl Morrill, who you throwing to? I think you should.
I don't even know where I'd find that. Is it on like YouTube?
It's on YouTube. Yeah, I've seen it on YouTube.
And I believe it's pieced together from multiple broadcasts. That's the way they had to put it back together on YouTube.
Yeah, so what I tried to do, you think I'm a geek teak before? Uh-huh. Wait for this. But I think you're going to appreciate this because this is football geekdom. I was on an urge or a mission to watch.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Every Super Bowl ever. I want to see every one of them. I've already seen the ones I was alive for. I want to go back and watch them. So I went through 1 through 10. And a lot of them are not there. A lot of them are highlights or right. It's like a story. Yeah. But some of them are there.
And Start to finish.
Start to finish.
Wow.
And I did this. It was years ago. So my memory on each game is not as good as when I first did it. But I did write down notes from each game. Like things I wanted to remind myself if I ever talked about this ever again. And it's such an education, bro. Because it's such a different sport. It's not the same sport in any way, but it's awesome.
But they were violent. I mean, they hit you hard. Oh, like, they hit each other hard.
Tiki, they were more violent.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, yes. When I say different sport, I don't mean it in any kind of disrespectful terms either.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, some of the games are ugly. Like, Super Bowl III was an ugly game. That's not even that the sport was ugly. That game was ugly. But the violence, the hitting, and then also, like, not having replay. Don Maynard made a catch. I sound like Beningo right now. Don Maynard made a catch in the AFL championship game that year that I have this video saved somewhere that's, like, not a catch. And I've watched it a million times, and I'm like, oh, my God, in 2024, this would be, like, ripped apart.
So it's not a catch because he doesn't catch the ball, or is it because he catches and it goes to the ground and it fumbles? Or, like, why is it not a catch?
So I'm going to find this. I have this saved on my phone, and by the end of the show, I'll get it to you so you can break it down on air. But I think it's because he never had control of it, and then, like, immediately the ball's, like, he throws it away. It was very strange.
So you're saying if replay existed, the Jets never even get to Super Bowl III?
I didn't say that. Because I'm sure there are a lot of other plays.
I actually am fascinated with that. I think so much of history has changed if we had replay.
Well, yeah. No, well, that's true in general.
Yeah. Like, how many champions would not exist today if replay had changed?
No, I mean, Yankees, Orioles in 96.
Yeah.
Like, that Jeffrey Mayer thing gets reversed.
There you go.
Why wouldn't I?
I'm talking about football. Yankees might have still won that series. Football's one game shot. You know, something alters that game. It's over.
Why was that such a bad example?
Just felt like a little trolly from you.
That wasn't trolly.
I expect better from you.
This guy's too much. I will find that video for you. But either way, rewatch old Super Bowls. Yeah. They're cool. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, good Cinco today, huh?
Yeah, I think that was a good Cinco.
All right, good week. You know, Monday, we'll get back at it.
What does that mean?
Cincos. We had a good Cinco.
Oh, you think you had a good Cinco week?
Oh, very good.
Tiki, you think you had a good Cinco week?
Wasn't there one that was like...
Well, you didn't like the fast food appetite.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was it was a good idea, the Cinco. It's just, you know, your opinions were pretty crappy.
Yeah, you tried to give us
an appetizer trio as number one, Evan.
Sampler platter was Evan's favorite.
That's true. All right, thank you, Sean. Let's get back to your calls. A lot of Giants and Jets on this very busy Friday, 888-808-1019. Manny in Bloomfield has waited a while. We appreciate that. What's up, Manny?
Yeah, what's up, Evan? I have to agree with Sean's earlier point about Saquon Barkley. I have no emotional attachment to Saquon Barkley. All he did was lose here. The problem you have, Evan, is your teams have never won anything.
Right.
So you have these emotional attachments to guys like Jacob DeGrom, who never won anything. Like, Giants fans were they were mad about Odell Beckham winning the Super Bowl. I could care less. He didn't win anything here.
So you...
The chance he had to win, he was on a boat with Trey Song.
That's true.
But I have attachments to winners.
Okay, so you're right that I'm a loser in terms of the teams I root for. Maybe in life, too. That's whatever. You're right. But that also would imply that you could never have a connection with someone who didn't win. And I find that hard to believe. There are a lot of great athletes in this city's history that didn't win a championship that you have a connection to. Like, that's, I just don't agree with that. Like, everybody's different. Now, I get it. There's different layers of winning. Like, Tiki didn't win a Super Bowl, but you were in a Super Bowl. So that's like winning. Like, to me, you get to a championship, there's a layer of winning versus never making the playoffs. And I get
it's
like that.
It's having a great team. So it's going to be a memorable team.
Which I get.
Right. But you still have a connection. Some teams that don't win championships that you just forget. There's other teams that you remember.
But I think that you can still have players that you really, really liked, even if their teams were mostly bad, and still have a connection to.
Yeah.
And what Manny's implying is that doesn't happen. I mean, I think all of us have that, right? Even with teams that haven't won? I mean, Knicks fans. And again, I'm not trolling with this. Well, Carmelo Anthony, I think, is a good example of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he feels like he was great and a champion in a sense, but he never was there.
Right.
But so you just, it's because he was a great player. You tend to confused that he never won a championship.
And the reason I said Melo instead of Ewing is because, again, the layer difference. Like, Patrick Ewing got to NBA Finals. So to say, well, he didn't win anything. Yeah, but he came close. And I think that there's something there with that. Look at Met fans. Mike Piazza didn't win anything.
Well, I mean, Sean, I'd be interested. How much are you remembering this World Series, this past World Series? Not the negative, just the fact that, just what it was.
It'll
be 10 years from now, what's it going to be?
It'll be very heartbreaking and gut-wrenching, but I think I will remember it more that way because I was in the building for the worst collapse I've ever seen the team have.
Yeah, no, you're probably, but, I mean,
I don't know if I remember it that way on TV.
But I wonder how much what happens next is going to influence how you remember.
Oh, what happens next will have a big impact.
Great point.
Mainly because of the Juan Soto situation.
Yeah, and
like,
honestly,
if Juan Soto stays and you get close again, or get there again, you're not going to remember this one as much. But if Juan Soto leaves and you never get back, you're gonna always remember it.
It will bother me probably more than any other of my team's postseason losses ever if they lose Juan Soto and never get back with Aaron Judge.
No, yeah. I get you. I have to play a clip for you. So I'm now going through my phone to find this video of Don Mader's not catch. And I used to cut a lot of random things. I'm about to play something for you from Al Michaels about 40 years ago. This is Al Michaels talking about the New York Jets. And I'm telling you, it's like 1989, 1990. So we're talking 35 years ago, long time ago. Al Michaels, who y'all watched last night on Amazon Prime, talking about the Jets. And if this is the clip I think it is, you're going to laugh hysterically. Take a listen.
Frank, the funny thing about the Jets, they're always saying they're rapidly improving. But when you look at this franchise, they've been around since 1960. And yet, this team's legacy is one game. Granted, it was a milestone game, Super Bowl III, but that was almost 23 years ago. Since then, they have become the NFL's wannabes. This team has not finished in first place since 1969, and they have been to the playoffs only four times in 21 seasons. So they keep saying we're getting better and we're building, and the fans keep saying, when? What they need is a big victory, and it's a long time since they've had a very big victory, and tonight clearly would fall into that category.
Yeah, well, they didn't win that night, but think about what he said and how it's so applicable 30 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God. He talks about how long it's been since they won the Super Bowl. Al, double that now.
Right.
And it's a history based on one game. He's so right, and that was 30 years ago.
But they did win the division.
Yes, they had two division championships since that clip. You're right. What does that mean?
I don't know, but it's winning. It's winning something.
You're right.
It's not the ineptitude that Al is talking about.
Well, it's still pretty accurate. You're right. We did have 1998 and 2002, but in general, the ineptitude is pretty much the same. It hasn't really changed very much. Let's go to Harold in the Bronx. What's going on today, Harold?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Love the show.
Thank you, man. What's up?
Let's talk some basketball. So as one of the 24 Nets fans.
Yeah. What's up?
I say 24 because I have a feeling Cam Thomas is going to show up today.
Yeah, well, Cameron Boucher Thomas has had some great Madison Square Garden moments, so why not write another one? Am I right?
Exactly. So I have two questions. First one for Evan, and then the second one for the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
Evan?
Yes.
What do you think of the Mets season that after, you know, at the first couple games that they showed? Are you looking at Cooper Flagg, or do you expect something else from this group? And the second question is, I feel like I'm an anomaly. I'm a Mets, Jets, and Yankees fan.
Ooh.
So I want you guys just to discuss as just amongst yourselves of like, what do you think the percentages of New York fans who are those three?
Well, Tiki's got his pulse on this better than anybody. As he described a few months ago, he had never met a Jet Yankee fan.
I was wrong.
How about that trifecta of Yankees, Jets, and Nets?
Yankees, Jets, and Nets.
Oofa.
I know plenty with two of them.
You know two of them?
No, that have two of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, me.
Well, yeah, of course, you.
Sean Morash.
Sean as well. Yeah. BT's the same way.
Yeah, it's true, because he doesn't have the Nets, but he has the Knicks. You're right. It's a weird one.
It is a weird one. Well, I think the challenge is the Net fan.
Well, you know what I find challenging? And there's a great example of this. I saw this the other night from my dear friend Sal Licata. Sal knows what it's like rooting for the little guy because he's a Met fan, right? And he also roots for a football team that's out of town. So he knows what it's like to be the little guy. And yet, when it's the Knicks, and he represents a lot of people, so that's why I want to use him as an example. I don't mean to pick on him. They get muscles that they don't deserve. It's like a guy who's very small down there, but they think they're 9 inches. You know what I mean? And that's what happens with Knicks fans who also root for the small guy. They think that they're the big guy when the truth is their franchise has been pathetic. And so, and I don't think you're that, Tommy, by the way. I'm not picking a fight with you because you seem, despite your dogs, dudes, and damages thing, you kind of get it. It's a pathetic franchise. Like, you understand that.
But I'm well aware of the history of the franchise and the delusion of the fans.
Yeah, sometimes they are the most delusional fan base in sports. I don't know why. It's weird. It's almost like you need to root for the Yankees and the Giants as well, because it humbles you, because it reminds you that's what a real franchise looks
you're
like.
You're asking why Knicks fans are the way they are, why they're built the way they are? Is that what you're getting at?
I'm not asking. I'm just telling you.
You're just
I'm describing
us?
Them.
Yeah, I think it's because we play at Madison Square Garden, the mecca, the greatest arena of all time. And yeah, a lot of Knicks fans are Giant fans and Yankee fans, and their Yankee-Giant fandom rub to the Knicks fandom. So they carry that big brother sort of thing. You notice Sean never chirps about the basketball team because he knows they're completely irrelevant.
I don't chirp when you root for a little brother.
That's what?
Part of it.
What?
Yeah, when you're the lesser.
As a Nets fan, that's why I'm not as vocal about
them. Oh, I got you.
Because right. I understand my place in society.
Well, I also told him early on in the show's history.
Sports society.
I told him, please shut up about the Nets. This show already has one Net fan. Yeah. Two's way too many.
That was the major downfall to hiring
I walked
here.
In here today and I saw three people in Nets sweatshirts. Evan, Young Jet, and Sean. I go, what are we doing here?
Yeah, so we outnumber you today.
One is the quota. I can't have three people here with Nets sweatshirts. Where are the Knicks fans?
I do want to say to our last call, you did ask a question. I think the Nets are going to end up in the lottery. I'm excited by the head coach. I'm excited that they fight every night. I want to win tonight very badly. I want to win Sunday very badly against the Knicks. I want to win badly. Do you have the audio clips ready? Because I'd like to present to you why I want to win badly. Because I'm surrounded by egotistical Knicks fans. I'm surrounded by Knicks fans who take us for granted. So let's start with my dear friend Sal Licata, who was very nice to Jet. He said, Jet, I'm rooting for you to be happy, but I want your father to be miserable tonight, which I thought was a very nice gesture on his part. Obviously, it's all a lie. He just wants Net fans to be miserable. But here's Sal Licata talking about the Nets recently. Go ahead.
I expect them to sweep the Nets in these two games here.
Okay. He expects to sweep us. Okay. Boomer. Oh, I love that private chat a few years ago. Here's what Boomer said a week ago. That's how far ahead he was looking at tonight. Here's what Boomer said about the Nets. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, those two games are back-to-back, by the way.
Yeah.
Against the Nets, the 15th and 17th of November.
Yeah.
They better win those games.
Both of them.
Those are games that they have to, you know, they have to dominate.
Whoa, hey! They got to dominate. Okay. Pressure's on, baby. You got to dominate. We're the little brother. We suck. We're tanking.
Does anybody think that's really going to happen, though?
That the Knicks are going to dominate?
Yeah.
Well, they have to. They're 10 times better than the Nets, Teak. They better.
Teak, don't buy
it. I think it's a disgrace.
It's so obvious what you're doing right now. You keep calling them a tanking
basketball
team.
Tommy. I'm playing. Hold on a second. I love our radio station. I like to showcase everybody, and I'm playing clips of our wonderful midday show and our wonderful morning show.
That's fine.
They express their opinion. I want to show it, and I want to say you guys are right. I agree with you, Boomer. They better dominate.
Yeah, because the Nets are tanking, right? The Nets are tanking. They're the little brother. They're
and
scrappy.
It's November 15th, and they're 12 games into the season.
That's right.
I just
This is just an IBO talking right now?
You're wearing a Nets sweatshirt and a Nets hat.
No, but I'm putting on my IBO hat here for a second.
I'll take off the Nets hat then.
IBO bald head here.
He took it off, yes.
Right. I can see him.
I believe that the talk when the trade went down as Aaron Judge was hitting a grand slam at Citi Field we just got the Nets' best player. If you traded for the Nets' best player, here we are in early November, there should be nothing short of dominance here.
You got to dominate tonight. I'm sorry. If you don't dominate, you're lost. That's the way I look at it. Right,
well,
Tiki?
You guys can look at it the way you want. I don't look at it
Would
that
you
way.
Agree, Tiki, if the Knicks don't win by 20, the Nets actually won tonight?
They're going to win by 20.
Okay, well, then the Knicks won tonight.
You're giving yourself 20 points in this game?
Yeah.
Boy, you're a pig. I mean, honestly, the spread's 9.5. You can't get 20 points. I'm just saying, 20.
Listen, I think Boomer.
You want to bet a Thomas Jefferson on it?
I ain't betting anything on it. Thomas Jefferson, isn't that a $2 bill?
Yeah.
Those still exist?
He tried to trick all of you. I was up to date on that one. You know what? I will bet a Thomas Jefferson on it.
There it is.
Do you have a Thomas Jefferson?
I do.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'll give you my Thomas Jefferson if they lose by if they win by less than 20.
Okay. Whoa. I will give you 2 George Washingtons. Is that fair? I want to save my Thomas Jeffersons. They're really cool. They're $2 bills. They don't make them anymore, Tommy. That's why when you have them, it's badass. All I know is tonight's a tournament night. Okay, so very big night at Madison Square Garden, and I do look forward to it.
Oh, that's right. They have to. The Knicks have to win this game.
Well, they can't. They can't.
You can't lose an important tournament game.
No, dude, pressure's on, man.
That's
they
why
win.
They're winning by 20.
Teague's very confident. Are
I
you?
Am.
Do you share Teague's confidence, Tommy?
I do share his confidence, and I do agree all the pressure is on the Knicks to win both of these games.
Yeah.
That is 100% fair. But this game that you and your constituent here is playing is just absolutely transparent.
You know how you could
tell? Obvious.
Tommy thinks it's a big game. Tommy went to, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, he went to management and demanded he come on after the game tonight to recap it.
Is that true?
I will be on before and after the game till 2 a.m.
Really? Dude, you're balling, bro.
That's right. Well, you got to, you know, the voice of the Knicks fans here on the station.
But you know what that tells you, Tiki?
What's that?
That tonight's a monster night. He's treating Knicks Nets, and I respect the hell out of that, by the way, Tommy. No shade here. He's treating Knicks Nets the way it should. He's doing a pre-into-the-game show and a post-out-of-the-game show. And I'll tell you right now. If the Nets win tonight, Nets win, you're getting a call.
Mm. I welcome the call, my friend.
I will be a very special guest. Me and Jet will call in.
You should call.
Driving back from MSG. If the Knicks win, good night.
Yeah, I'll never hear from you ever again.
I'm skipping the podium tonight, bro.
And if the Nets win, too, I don't want to hear 6 seconds on Jets Colts. This better be wall-to-wall here tonight.
Would you promise us wall-to-wall Cam Thomas dropped 45 at the Garden for us?
If the Nets win, is that what you're saying? No, God, no. I'll talk about it a little bit, and then I'll get on to the Giants.
I tell you the other thing that's going on tonight, we talked about this yesterday, is this Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. I'm sorry, is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul?
Jake Paul. Jake.
Okay, I got it right. I'm sorry, because I think of the wrestling guy. So we talked about it yesterday. Is it fixed? Are we excited for it? Last night, you got the audio of this? Last night, they had the weigh-in. And Paul slapped Mike Tyson across the face. I sent it to you guys. And Teague, your reaction was, oh, this is fixed, right?
No. Mike Tyson slapped Jake Paul.
I'm sorry. I confused it. Mike Tyson slapped Jake Paul in the face.
Yes.
Jake Paul acted like, no big deal. Do you take that as a sign that it's fixed or a sign of Mike Tyson's crazy?
It became a news story. So people would now flip on their Netflix accounts tonight at whatever it is, 9:30.
Do you think you did it on purpose?
Of course.
How about this?
Absolutely.
After this happened, Paul then spoke. Listen to this wrestling promo he cuts on Mike Tyson, and I want to thank Sean.
You agree with me.
I'm not sure. All I know is I'm enjoying it.
Yes.
And good job by Sean editing this, because there may be some curses. Here is Jake Paul going at it and explaining his opinion on Mike Tyson.
I didn't even feel it. He's angry. He's an angry little elf. Mike Tyson, I thought that was a cute slap, buddy, but tomorrow you're getting knocked the f*** out. I'm him up, Belial. I'm f***ing him up. He hits like a It's personal now. It's personal now. He must die.
He must die.
What? Oh, dude.
I think it's all scripted, but I think it's awesome.
But you know what's going to happen?
He's going to die?
No.
I hope not.
Mike Tyson is unstable. There's going to be a point where this fixed match, Jake Paul is supposed to win, and Mike Tyson's just going to flip. He's going to black out on his ass and knock him the hell out. It's going to be ugly.
I could totally see that happening.
Because if Jake Paul is talking about knocking him out, that means he's got to be in close with him. And if you get in close with Mike Tyson and you get one of those right hooks, it's good night. I'm just telling you.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe this will prove your point correctly, Mike had a fight against Roy Jones Jr. a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And wasn't there a story that Roy Jones Jr. in the middle of it was like, hey, dude, I thought we were going 60% here. And Mike wasn't. Mike was beating him up. So you're right. Even if this is a fix, even if the plan is, hey, Jake's going to win, the fix is in, Mike Tyson, who was dropping F-bombs in front of a 12-year-old interviewer girl yesterday.
Right, talking about dying. There's no legacy. You're going to be dead. Right? Dust. What are you talking about?
Like, he could flip a switch and say, no, this isn't going to happen, and just destroy this guy. That's on the table, too.
He is not a controllable man. Let's put it that way.
That's why a part of me, because I was looking at the gambling odds of this thing.
Oh, and I was going to put some more money on it? Well, put Andrew Jackson on it?
I mean, put an Andrew Jackson on it. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. But even if you think it's fixed, because Mike is the underdog, I kind of think you're right that it's possible he just loses his freaking mind. Mm-hmm. In fact, I read this this morning from an odds maker on the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. Quote, "We have more written on it than any NFL game currently on the board." Wow. More riding on it, I think is. Or written on. Is that a gambling term, written on it? So I guess riding on it. "We have more riding on it than any NFL game currently on the board. We've taken a few bigger bets on Paul, but the vast majority of the tickets are on Mike Tyson. The respected money is on Paul, for sure." So that means the common folk is going Tyson. The smart people are going Paul. But I think you may be right that the common guy may be correct, because right. Tyson's going to flip and say, screw it, there's no fix, and destroy him.
Right. I don't care how much you're supposed to be paying me. I'm not getting the hell out.
I think Tyson's going to win. That's my new prediction.
Well, there you go.
What are you? Are you going with Tyson?
I am.
Wow.
How about you? How could I not?
No, I get it. How about you, Sean?
I think Tyson gets a scripted victory setting up a rematch.
Oh, that's right. You think it's scripted on the Tyson end to set up a rematch.
Do you think it's a knockout, or you think it's a...
No, it'll be a decision. They don't allow... Now, I do think what Tiki's saying, there is some merit. That's the reason to watch. Does he go full unhinged and break the script?
Interesting. Tommy, your prediction?
I think Jake Paul beats him. Evander Holyfield comes out. Then Logan Paul comes out. They set up the tag match at WrestleMania. Lennox Lewis is the ref.
Right.
Nice.
The schmoz occurs. Yeah. Very good. We'll make our NFL picks. Plus, we'll get back to your calls. A lot of Giants and Jets as we get you set for the weekend in the NFL. Friday late afternoon. It's already dark outside. I guess we should be used to that since we switched the clocks. But it's dark outside. It's basically a Friday night here at 546 on WFN in New York City. We make our NFL picks for Week 11. Last night, how'd we do? Me and Loogie picked the Eagles. We got that right, regretfully, because we didn't want to be right. Tiki and Sean took Washington getting the 4, and they got it wrong. So as we enter Week 11, Tommy Lugauer is a very solid 31-23. I am 28-26. Sean is 19-35. And then Tiki is 18-36. Full disclosure. Tiki is not allowed to pick the Jet game. So I'm going to give you a choice, Tiki.
Go ahead.
You can just pick another game, or...
You want me to pick the Bills game.
Or, no, I wasn't even going to say that. Or Jet Roberts could pick the Jet game for you. That's your decision.
Yeah, let Jet do it.
And Jet's a wild card, because I don't know if he's going to pick the Jets. Jet, you want to come in here and make an NFL pick? Yeah, come on in. All right. Let's make our NFL picks. And, of course, no money is on the line. We are not gambling. In fact, Jet and I had a very important discussion that gambling should not happen. All right? Yes. So his betting of the Knicks with his friend, null and void. We ain't doing that.
Especially for a Benjamin.
That's right. This is for fun. Right. We're not betting money. In fact, the loser has to sell a T-shirt that we made about Tommy Lugauer. All right, we'll let you go first, but let me read this sponsor. Today's football picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELEC A25, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. We'll start off with Tiki Barber, but we'll start off with Jet making the pick on the Jets game. So here's the deal, Jet. Say hello.
Hello.
Say what's up.
What's up?
All right. The Jets are late. Will the Jets beat the... We'll start this way. Will the Jets beat the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday? Yes or no?
Probably not.
So you're picking the Colts?
I guess so.
You guess so? That's totally fine. He gets it, fellas.
Sounds like a Jet fan.
He knows that we... Do the Jets lose all the time, Jet?
Kind of.
Are the Brooklyn Nets going to beat the Knicks tonight?
Yes, because
it's, yes. There you go. Thank you, Jet.
Because right, we're going to the game, that's why.
All right, so pick number one, the Indianapolis Colts. I didn't even have to explain the point spread.
No, you did.
It was as simple as they're going to lose. So, Tiki, your first pick by way of Chet is Indianapolis plus four. Take it away.
Now I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers in Chicago. They're laying 5.5. Chicago's been all over the place. They fired their offensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus is on the hot seat. And the Green Bay Packers got talent all over the wazoo. So give me the Packers laying 5.5 at the Chicago Bears. And then the New England Patriots hosting the L.A. Rams. They're getting 4.5 points. This is a tricky one because the Patriots have been playing good football. But I feel like the Rams are one of those teams, even though they got to travel all across the country. The weather should be all right. I'm going to take the Rams, laying 5.5 on the road. Give me the Rams minus 4.5. 4.5 on the road over the New England Patriots.
There you go. So officially Indianapolis by way of Jet. Don't worry, CBS. Tiki did not pick Indianapolis. An 8-year-old did, who's a Jet fan, whose name is Jet. And then Green Bay and the Rams. Tommy Lukauer, take it away for week 11.
All right, game number one. Let's start in San Francisco, where the Niners are laying 6.5 points. San Francisco has been very up and down this year. Obviously, they had a lot of injuries with McCaffrey, Ayuk, but they're starting to get healthy now. They're starting to get rolling here. And everybody thinks Detroit has an easy road to the Super Bowl. Before the season, I told you we're going to have a rematch from last year's Super Bowl. It's going to be Niners-Chiefs again. And I think you start to see San Francisco cook here in the second half. I'm going to lay 6.5 with the Niners, game number one. Game number two, and I'm so glad that Evan let me go first so he doesn't accuse me of copying his picks. You're getting points with Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to make any kind of other, you know, analogies, but let's just say that's like, you know, walking home and maybe Sydney Sweeney's in your bed with $1 million in her bank account. You take it every single time. Patrick Mahomes, you're getting points. The kicking situation obviously is not great because Butker is out. But I'm sorry. Anytime, though, and I think the Chiefs are on a mission here to three-peat and go undefeated. So I'm going to take the 2.5 with Kermit in that spot. Now, the main event. The one we've all been waiting for. The positive Tommy Jets, who I think are still undefeated, right? Aren't they? They're 1-0? Maybe not. Maybe they're 1-2.
No.
What? The Jets will win the game.
But not cover.
I feel like Boomer here. And the Colts will cover.
I knew it. That's his chicken bleep way of saying, I don't actually think the Jets are winning, but I can't
no, no,
say
no,
it.
No. No, they win by three.
Okay. Thank you, Tommy.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go, if you don't mind, Sean. Number one, the Steeler-Raven game. And I guess I can't explain it other than the fact that Mike Tomlin is utterly brilliant. Lamar Jackson doesn't play well against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you look at his career numbers, 4 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, and he doesn't really win. And I have a feeling that trend's going to continue. I really do. So in game number one, I'm getting points. I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have serious ownage over Lamar Jackson. Give me the Steelers in game number one getting the 3 points against the Baltimore Ravens. I think Lamar and the Ravens have a few demons they need to exercise, obviously the Chiefs being one of them. But I also think Mike Tomlin's defense is another. I don't think they will this week. Give me the Steelers plus 3, game number one. Game number two. Tommy, I'm not stealing your pick. I'm going right up against you. Because the reality is, while I've always been a big proponent of, well, if the Chiefs are an underdog, you got to take the Chiefs. And that's been the track record. Patrick Mahomes straight up is 11-3 as an underdog. I think this is different. I think it's different for a few reasons, and people sort of forget this. The Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. That's not a new thing. It's not as if Buffalo wins on Sunday, they're exercising any demon. Oh, they beat them in November. They may beat them in December. They don't beat them in January. That trend will continue. But on Sunday, I think the Chiefs' luckiness is going to catch up with them. I think the Bills are going to win this thing going away. That's why earlier when you goaded me into Schrader kicking the game-winning field goal, no, I think he'll hit some field goals and play well. I think the Bills are going to overwhelm them. I really do. And I think that we're falling into the trap of they're the Chiefs, they're the Chiefs, they're the Chiefs. They're the Chiefs in January, not November. They're going to lose a couple of regular season games. And again, they've lost to the Bills twice in the regular season. Give me the Bills laying the 2.5 against the Chiefs in game number two. And in game number three, we're set up for disappointment. We're set up for failure. We're set up for another quarterback change that comes back and bites the Jets right in the ass. As much as I want to believe and I laid out the formula for the Jets turning their season around, that doesn't mean they will. Sunday is going to be another disgusting, why am I wasting my life at MetLife Stadium kind of Sunday if you're a Jet fan. Jonathan Taylor's going to run all over them. Anthony Richardson's going to look like Superman making big plays with his legs. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay. And okay isn't good enough. Give me the Colts getting the 4 in game number 3. I'm taking two dogs and a favorite. The Steelers getting 3 against the Ravens. The Bills laying 2.5 against the Chiefs. And the Indianapolis Colts getting the 4. By the way, before you make your pick, Sean, I want to say stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. That's presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Coming up next on SNY. Sean, go ahead.
All right. I'm just going to start with the Colts and Jets here. You guys are nail on the head here with the setup
for
Harper.
We're all picking the Colts?
Not only are the Colts getting 3.5 here, we are going to be screaming on Monday about how they can't tackle Anthony Richardson and made Anthony Richardson look like a great pick again. Give me the Colts to go find a way to win this game by 7-9 points, something like that.
Before you continue, now I understand it was Jet, not Tiki. I want to make that clear. But all of us have picked the Colts three other times this year. We've all agreed on a game, and all three times we were wrong.
Well, leave it to the Jets.
The Jets better follow the script of the Evan and Tiki program.
I don't want to be an idiot here. I know I've had a bad year picking games. The Jets at this point in the year should never be 3.5-point favorites. I don't care if they're playing Montana State. So let's just leave it there.
The number we have is 4, by the way.
Okay. FanDuel's currently 3.5, but we'll go with 4.
That's fine.
All right. Pick number 2 for me. Has anybody paid attention to what the hell's been going on in Denver this week? After that heartbreaking loss with the blocked field goal to Kansas City, the players have been so devastated that just yesterday, Sean Payton had to create a montage of past teams' awful heartbreaking losses to rally the troops this week because they can't even focus at practice all week. And yet they're laying 1.5 versus the pretty good Atlanta Falcons? Give me the I know the game's in Denver. Give me the Falcons getting 1.5. Are you kidding me? Denver coming back off that loss? They're not winning this game. Give me the Falcons plus 1.5. Now, to the game you two were oppo on, the Bills and the Chiefs.
Break the tie, baby.
I can't believe that we're all picking this game. And this isn't just because the game's big and the game's sexy. I love this game. The Screeching Idiots, right? We're getting 2.5 points here. The Chiefs are screwed. With the Chiefs. And also, little underlying thing happened this week. Dalton Kincaid has been ruled out of this game, and that is a massive offensive weapon loss for Buffalo. Amari Cooper's going to play, but he's still really banged up and questionable. I just don't think versus Spags defense, the Bills, even at home, are going to have enough to get home in this game. It'll be a little lower scoring than we think. I'm taking the Chiefs to win the game outright, giving me in plus the 2.5.
Wow. The Screeching Idiot. Can we make that a t-shirt?
I know.
Yeah, sure. And then we can sell it outside MSG.
I just kind of forgot about Dawson Knox over there.
Yeah.
No, look, he knocks on the door every time Dalton's out. So.
Oh, shut up. Nice try, though. I'm excited about that game. I mean, we got a couple of good games. The Baltimore-Pittsburgh game is also very intriguing. Obviously, the Jet-Colt game matters, and you'll be calling it. And there's a lot of pressure on... Who's our kicker again? Anders Carlson?
Anders Carlson.
I was about to call him Anders Lee.
Second year from Auburn.
That's right. Because what Tiki is guaranteed, and Andrew Catalan is going to back me up on this, is I'm annoyed that the Jets allowed Spencer Schrader to end up in Kansas City. So if Anders Carlson misses any kind of field goal 54 yards or shorter, Tiki will publicly apologize on the CBS broadcast to me. And that'll be much appreciated. And you should include Jet fans as well, not just me. Like Evan and Jet fans.
Wow, why do I got to apologize to Jet fans?
I don't know, because I don't want to make it just
about
me.
Do they believe just because you believe?
Some of them do.
Yeah, okay.
not all of them. Some of them do. But it's an interesting weekend of football.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.